This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, this is the Bish here from the Hump Day Crew. You're tuned into one of our podcasts. Enjoy.
Joy 94.9.
Hump Day Crew Joycast.
Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod, and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
Give the world a hug, one country at a time. It's time for Global Community.
Joining me on the line right now, Zach Mabel from South Africa. Thank you for your time today, Zach.
Thanks very much for having me. Great to be here.
You're involved with Joburg Pride. Could you tell me a little bit about your role?
I am one of the two co-chairs of the Joburg Pride Gay Festival, and I'm also the spokesperson in charge of the youth portfolio.
Tell me a little bit about some of the events that happen at Joburg Pride.
Okay. Well, basically, we have the main event, which is the parade day on the first Saturday of October each year. But preceding that, we have the Pride Festival, which is just a week-long series of community events, everything ranging from educational seminars to, specialized sort of fringe parties, as well as different events targeted at different communities within the LGBT community. So some religious religious events like interfaith services, as well as youth events.
One thing I noticed on your website as well, there's the Pride Film Festival. Is that part of the Pride Festival time, or is that held at a different time of year?
Well, we tend to have two gay and lesbian film festivals. One is the Out in Africa Film Festival. That one is a separate event. The Pride Film Festival is one that's put on by one of the two major cinema chains in the country, and they try to time it so that it happens just before or during Joburg Pride. We do have a partnership with them in terms of endorsing each other's events, but they're not. It's not a jointly organized film festival. That's done independently by Stuart Kinnickel, but then we enter into partnership with them because there's a lot of synergy between the two.
And do they show GLBTI films from just around Africa or from around the whole world?
It's mainly from around the world. We don't have a large gay film production base in this country, so they normally tend to be imported productions.
With any Pride Festival, the parade seems to be the most spectacular or the thing that gets the most attention. How many people do you have participating and coming to watch your parade?
The numbers vary from year to year. At its peak in the late 90s, we were getting 10 to 15,000 people taking part. In the early 2000s, it did start to decline a bit. The latest figures that I know of is that last year we had about 5,000 people. Sorry, no, the year before this was about 5,000 people, and then last year it went up to between 8,000 and 10,000 people. It's not easy to get a very clear figure, but based on bar sales and that sort of thing, we can sort of get a vague estimate. There was definitely an upshot.
It's very hard to count everyone when no one will stand still, will they?
No, definitely not.
Now, you said
there's lots of traffic from people who might come for the parade but then not stay for the afternoon concerts, or some who miss the parade and then come for the afternoon concerts. Do fluctuate a lot.
So the parade actually happens during the day, not in the evening?
The parade itself starts just before noon, and it finishes at about lunchtime. So from lunchtime onwards in the afternoon is when there'd be a big sort of carnival fairground with the concerts and the beer tents and so on.
And you mentioned a moment ago that it was at its peak in the 90s. Why has there been a decline over the last decade or two?
There's probably a number of factors. I suspect the most obvious reason is the fact that by the early to mid-2000s, a lot of legal victories for the gay and lesbian community had been achieved. Terms of legalization of of gay adoption and inheritance from same-sex partners and that sort of thing. So I think people didn't feel there was that much of a need to be in that protest activism mode anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And the pinnacle was in late 2006 when same-sex marriage was legalized. And so I suspect that many people kind of feel they can relax a bit more and just, you know, not feel so pressured to feel like they must be protesting and marching and so on.
And does it attract a lot of people from outside of Johannesburg and outside of South Africa?
Yes, it does. We do have people who travel in from all over the country. And lately we've noticed that people from the more rural provinces are making quite a major effort to come through. And, of course, we have a number of international visitors who do come in. So it seems the marketing does get out there and people want to come.
South Africa's in a very unusual position because if you look at the continent of Africa, all the countries that neighbour yourself, like Zimbabwe, Botswana, Namibia, are actually illegal to be gay in all those countries.
Yes.
What's that like being surrounded by a bunch of countries that still have homosexuality as illegal?
On the ground level, I suspect many people don't really think about it that much. They're just grateful to be in a country where the legal regime is very open and assures gay and lesbian equal rights. But I know that on a sort of higher political level, it does cause a lot of animosity between the LGBT civil society sector and the government, where you find that the South African government does not take pro-LGBT dancers, either at the UN or in SADC, which is the regional body for Southern Africa. So there's a lot of sort of protest and lobbying from LGBT advocacy organizations to get the government to stop this solidarity stance with the African or the Middle Eastern bloc, which is always conservative on LGBT issues.
So that's really interesting because you're one of the very few countries in the world that actually legalizes gay marriage, but then your government's not willing to actually fight for your rights outside of South Africa, really.
Yes, no, it's definitely a very sharp disjuncture that often still puzzles us and obviously angers us. But I suspect it's because the government sort of doesn't want to be seen as too radical, I suppose, in regional and international circles. And in fact, they do tend to resist even legal advances internally with legal changes. I mean, all the legal reforms around same-sex marriage and gay adoption, and even initially around decriminalizing sodomy, the government opposed all those legal applications in the court until they had to go to the highest court in the land. And once they were passed there, the government then said, okay, fine, we'll do it. So there's definitely a lot of contradiction between what was initially placed in the Equality Clause of the Constitution and the day-to-day operations of actually getting the remainder of the laws to align with that.
It must help that you have support from people such as religious leaders like Archbishop Desmond Tutu, actually being a vocal supporter of gay rights in South Africa.
Yes, no, definitely. The line keeps cutting, so I'm not getting your full question, but I think I did understand the last one you said. Religious leaders who are supportive of LGBT rights are in the minority, but there are a few. And in fact, the largest interdenominational body, the SA Council of Churches, did in fact support the legalization of same-sex marriage as a civil institution, but they were still reluctant to allow that change to happen within their churches. So there's still a long way to go, but there are small steps being taken forward.
For people listening around the world that don't live in South Africa but are thinking, is it worth going and visiting South Africa? What life like for gay and lesbian people in South Africa? What is it like for tourists?
It's very varied, I must say. You know, we're a big country, a very diverse country. So with many contradictions, economic, political, social, cultural, so people are likely to find different experiences when they come here, depending on where they go or even at what time they go. In terms of gay and lesbian tourism, the most obvious place, I suppose, would be Cape Town, which is known as one of the pink capitals of the world. So gay and lesbian tourists going to Cape Town will have a fabulous time. There's hardly ever any issues. Lots of clubs, lots of gay-friendly restaurants, hotels, B&Bs, and so on. In the remainder of the country, it's likely to be a far different experience, although you do find small enclaves, even in the very rural towns, which have realized the power of pink money, and so they cater for that during seasonal travel.
Because there does seem to be a bit of publicity on the pink rand, or as we call it in Australia, the pink dollar. Do you find a lot of large companies go after that pink rand?
Yes and no. Yes, in the sense that we have had companies who have been very explicit, especially in their advertising, about the fact that they do recognise the gay and lesbian market, so they try to target that. And some of the especially higher-end sort of companies that sell luxury products, they will target advertising at gay and lesbian publications because they know of the money that's there. But the interesting thing that we find is that many of those same companies, when they are approached for sponsorship, for example, of a Joburg Pride, they're very reluctant to put their branding in that kind of space. So they want the money, but they're very cautious about putting themselves out there too much at an event like Joburg Pride. And even with international companies, you find that where in Europe or America or Australia, they might sponsor the Pride, Mardi Gras or parades there, the local subsidiary is running in the opposite direction. So it's all those kinds of trends and contradictions that we're having to work with.
Zach, if there's anyone listening at the moment who's considering maybe coming to Joburg Pride in October, what's one reason, the main reason they should come to Joburg Pride this year?
Well, I suppose it'll be the main reason that anybody would want to come to Pride. You know, it's an important event in any LGBT calendar as a way of highlighting gay and lesbian visibility and ensuring that homophobia is always counted. But I suppose the unique thing about Joburg Pride is that it will happen with a local flavour, an African flavour. So in the same way that any people would want to come to South Africa to experience what the culture and the flavours and the textures are like here, similarly you can have that same experience as a gay and lesbian tourist coming to Joburg Pride, as well as the related events, but you get that unique local flavour that you'd be wanting as a tourist from anywhere else.
Would I be right in assuming that it will be the only Pride festival in the whole continent of Africa?
Not quite. There is also Cape Town Pride.
Okay.
They have their Pride festival in late February. It is quite a bit smaller than Joburg Pride, which is surprising given that Cape Town is much more of a gay-friendly city, I suppose.
Mm.
But they have one also as well. And then we also have the Pink Lorry Festival, which happens in a small East Coast town called Knysna. That happens around end of May. That one is very commercially successful, smaller than Joburg Pride, but bigger than Cape Town Pride. And that's just a very good time as well.
Okay, well, Zach, thank you very much for taking the time to have a chat to us today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That was Zach Mabel of Joburg Pride, or Johannesburg Pride. If you'd like to find out more, just go to joburgpride.org. You're listening to The Hump Day Crew.
Hey, it's Ginny from The Hump Day Crew. Thank you so much for tuning into one of our podcasts and for supporting Joy 94.9 and The Hump Day Crew. We will catch you next Wednesday from 6:30 a.m.
Joy 94.9.
Hump Day Crew Joycast.
Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod, and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.